Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
And yes, I'm very glad to be having another exciting journey down the river. This is Maxine, and I'm here with my co-host, Jeannie, and so happy to have her back with me after a couple weeks' absence. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, and I am happy to be back. I missed the show a lot, and I missed you, Maxine.
First, it's much nicer with the duo going.
Yeah, I know.
But I think we'd be a little amiss if we didn't mention the weather right now, because we have been totally inundated with one big storm after the other. And in fact, they said it was the end of a typhoon that had come in from across
in
Japan somewhere. So
how are you
faring on your end?
Well, we're doing well. I don't know if the listeners know that generally in Oregon, people think it rains more here than other places. It actually rains less, but we have rain every day for a lot of the year. But it kind of mists, and it never rains hard here. Well, yes, on Saturday, it was raining so hard, and today it is too, that it has knocked all the blooms off my flowers.
And there's about 6 trees down in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I don't know if there are trees down here or not. Since I'm at the end of a dead end, I can't see. But I know there are trees down everywhere and mudslides. Yeah.
Oh, it's a mess, yeah. Well, anyway, we have both survived all of that, and the cities are cleaning things up, and my daughter's electricity, I hope, is being turned back on. So life goes on, and we are thankful we've got electricity and connect with our guests today.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, listeners, we've got a really special program for you today. Our guest Patty Mason. She is of Liberty in Christ Ministries, and we're going to be talking about her new Bible study called Know That I Am God. Patty Mason is a wife and a mother who is madly and passionately in love with Jesus. As a speaker and Bible teacher, she inspires others to never settle in their walk with God. In her founding of Liberty in Christ Ministries, she's dedicated to helping others find hope, healing, and freedom for their souls. She was voted one of 50 great writers you should be reading, and her books include the award-winning Bible study Transformed by Desire, which was a book of the year, Finally Free, Breaking the Bonds of Depression Without Drugs, Experiencing Joy, Strategies for Living a Joy-Filled Life, and her brand new Bible study, which we're going to be talking about today, Know That I Am God. Welcome to our program, Patty.
Oh, thank you, Maxine and Jeannie. I am so excited to be with you ladies today.
We're so excited to have you.
Oh, thank you.
So should we talk about what inspired you to write this study? Was there something amazing that led you in this path?
Basically, I was at the very, very tail end of writing Transformed by Desire. And all of a sudden, one day, God laid Isaiah 43:10 on my heart, which says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know, believe, and understand that I am he. And all of a sudden, that verse just began to stir in my heart. And for over a year, God just cultivated that verse in my heart and began to reveal to me what it truly means to know and understand and believe the heart of God.
So do you think that after a year of meditating on it, you know all about God? Or you think you have more to learn?
Who does, right? But
nobody.
I'll tell you that time really took me to a whole other level of relationship in with him, because he began to show me that God is not just about one relationship. There are many different forms of relationships that he desires to share with us. It's not just Father or just just a teacher or discipler. There are so many facets of God, and he desires for us to tap into all of those different levels of relationship.
I know one of the things that I mentioned to you a few minutes ago, Patty, was that I felt this book, because you cover so many of the aspects of God, you've got 10 chapters going on here, and each one is on a different aspect of God's relationship to us.
Right.
And it's like you could have had 10 studies out of this one book. And I think our listeners should look at it as really getting a very well-rounded picture of God the Father and Christ the Son. So when you say in your book, the endless desire of God's heart is for each of us to know him intimately, understand him emotionally, and believe him unconditionally, what are you talking about there?
Well, you know, God wants each of us to have an intimate relationship with him. And when I say that is because he knows each of us intimately. He knows the number of hairs on our heads. He knows how he formed us and how he wired us and how he put us together. He knows us so intimately that he knows everything about us. And so he wants us to pursue him with that effort. Now, granted, we only know in part. Remember, Scripture says that I only know in part, but then when we are standing face to face, I will know him. As I am fully known, I will know him in fullness. But now we're on this pursuit of discovering God and coming to know him in that intimate way. And I think a lot of it begins with the desire of our heart to want to know him that way, to want to pray and say, Lord, I want to know your face. I'm not just the work of your hands, but your face. I want to know who you are, what you desire, what is it that, to actually begin to see him in a way to where you can begin to see the emotional makeup of God so that you begin to understand his passions and understand his heart and understand his longings and pursue him in such a way that you are coming at him with such, I guess, such fervor that you will let nothing get in your way, and it is such a passionate pursuit. And as we do this, God says that if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. I will be found by you. And he also says, you know, come to me and ask me, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. A lot of times we stop, I think, in our pursuit of God where we only go so far. And we think, okay, I've got a good grasp on this now. And so we seem to settle in. We seem to get complacent in our walk with the Lord oftentimes. And he doesn't want us to ever stop or be comfortable. Yes, we want to be, you know, Christ to be our satisfaction, but we never want to settle in our pursuit of deity. We never want to stop seeking. We never want to stop asking and knocking and just coming after him so that we begin to understand him. And I say begin, because, again, in this life we're not going to know everything, but we are going to really begin to know him maybe in a way we've never known him before.
You know, that is something that I know I just really want to do, but I feel like there's just so much more to learn. And I'm wondering, I know that there are no statistics on this, but what would be your guess of people who just really pursue God with their whole hearts? Got any ideas on that?
I absolutely don't know a percentage of how many. But if I would to say, okay, I'm going to take the pulse of the church in general, just based on the people that maybe I've met along the way, you know, that is such a hard question. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, really, to say that people who are in hot pursuit of God, I really think there's a slim number out there.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
And do you think, Patty, that when you run across some of those rare people in church, that you recognize them? How do you recognize them, or do you?
Oh, I think you can. I think you can. I think it comes off first of all in their countenance. You can almost look at a person, and it's in their eyes, and it's on their face. You know, the true lovers of Jesus Christ, they just seem to radiate Christ. You know, just like he says, you know, when you look to him, your face is radiant. You know, those who seek him, their faces are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And I think those who truly, truly are in pursuit of him, they understand more of who they are in Christ, more so than someone who isn't really pursuing him, who maybe is going to church and, you know, maybe they're in the Word and they're reading and they're going through the motions. A lot of us sometimes we do that. I mean, let's confess it. I mean, I had a season where I did that. I just went through the motions. You know, this is the way we go to church. And I did it. I fell into that. But I'll tell you, there are times when people are truly pursuing God, they have a great passion for God, and it shows through in what they say, in what they do. Someone who is truly fervent in the Word, I mean, it's like they just speak life all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and they just mm-hmm. seem to have more of a grasp of who they are in Christ, and they just seem to have more victory. It's not that they don't ever sin, or it's not that they don't ever, you know, get a little stumbled or whatever here or there. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it's like when they pursue him, they just seem to have victory in areas that maybe some people are still lacking.
Mm. Yeah, they understand the Christ in me,
yeah.
you know, aspect that allows the Holy Spirit to be guiding them. And even I was just writing a part of a chapter in another book that I'm working on, and where this man was very angry, but immediately he thought back to a thought when he'd seen Bambi as a child and the wisdom of Bambi's father that said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything.
Mm.
And it stopped him. So it's like you have those little convictions when you're walking mm-hmm. with the Lord that bring you to better choices.
Mm.
And you do have problems,
yeah.
I agree. You won't be free
yeah.
of problems no matter how we live in this world. We're going to have problems, but when we've got Christ with us, boy, does that make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Patty, because we're going to run out of time so quickly today with your program, I'd like to hear you give a little bit of a synopsis on some of these things, because you've got God the Father, God the Friend, God the Bridegroom, the Redeemer, the Shepherd, the Healer, the name of God, the Warrior, the King of Glory. I mean, one that's sticking out for me right now that people might stumble on is knowing that I'm your friend. How can
mm-hmm.
people know God is their friend when they feel he's so holy? Why would he want to mess with them?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest hang-ups in coming into a closer walk with God as friend is because of a friend, maybe in their past or even in their present, has hurt them or betrayed them. And so many times, I mean, I think it's one of the biggest roadblocks that we have, and no matter what relationship we come at God, whether it's father or friend or bridegroom, if we've had an earthly relationship that's betrayed us or hurt us deeply, we cannot seem to approach God in that way, maybe for a couple of reasons. And primarily because we humanize God a lot of times, we immediately think, well, God is going to react the way my friend did or the way my
yeah.
father did, or the way that, you know, and so that will stop us from embracing that relationship with him. And that's one of the things we do try to overcome in the Bible study, is we try to look at the relationship that we had maybe with an earthly friend who betrayed us, or our earthly dads who might have hurt us or whatever, and we try to overcome that in the Bible study so that we're able to embrace God in that level of relationship.
Mm-hmm. What's one practical way that you do that?
Well, one way is to actually face it. Just let's face the hurt, let's face the pain,
mm-hmm.
and then also realize that we're not alone, because Jesus faced the same types of betrayal and hurt from his friends, people who were his disciples. And so to understand that, well, Jesus went through the same thing that I did, and he overcame. And then we use the Word of God and that example of Christ and how he handled those hurts, but yet still had an incredible relationship with his Father. He didn't allow those hurts to get in the way of his relationship with his Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
I know.
True. And then there's the bridegroom. Sometimes it's easier for women to accept a bridegroom than for men, but yet
yeah.
we're all going to be the bride
yeah.
of Christ.
That's right.
So
we are.
How do you bring that point across, especially to the men?
Yeah, I actually have a couple of paragraphs right there, I think, in the very first lesson of this Bible study that addresses that, because the bridal archetype, you're right, is very difficult for men to embrace because of its feminine nature. But what we have to remember is the bridal imagery is not about feminine or you know, masculine or anything like that. This is not something that is going to threaten a man's masculinity. The bridal archetype is an image. God gives us marriage and weddings and physical intimacy with our spouse as a living metaphor for what he desires to pursue with us. Remember what it says in Ephesians, you know, for a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. So this is a metaphor of that covenant relationship that he desires with us, and sexuality and gender and I have nothing to do with it. So I do make a direct quote in there, reaching out to the men who do happen to take this study to help them understand that gender has nothing to do with it. It's about our connection with Christ.
Yeah,
because it is a little bit confusing when they read those kind of words, and so that helps them understand it.
Yeah.
So, Patty, you also have a DVD that's going to go with this, and I think we ought to bring that subject up before we start talking a little bit more about your other points. What is on the DVD, and how will that help people?
Well, the DVD is a 10 video lessons that accompany the workbook. Now, people do not have to do the video with the workbook. The workbook can stand by itself, but the DVDs come from the book of Ezekiel, and it was very interesting how God actually had given me the idea or the concept for the videos way back when I was writing the Bible study, but I didn't know how it was going to be all laid out until the Bible study was completely written.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of came back and he showed me through the book of Ezekiel how the book of Ezekiel actually lined up with the Bible study. It was really cool. But anyway, as you make your way through, and we talk about the father and the friend and the bridegroom, and as we go through each one and we walk through the book of Ezekiel, we focus on each one of those relationships from Ezekiel's perspective and from the verses in the book of Ezekiel, because in that book, you know, it's interesting, in Scripture, I believe the number is 70 times you will find the phrase, "Know that I am." And the majority of those verses is found in the book of Ezekiel. And so I think through that prophet, God was continually crying out, "Know that I am, know that I am, know that I am." Through the actions I take, through the words I speak, know that I am God and that there is no other. And so to take that emphasis from Ezekiel's perspective, and we look at knowing God, but it's beautiful how it lines up with the study. But it's like an added bonus. If you do both of them together, I think you come away with just an even greater perspective.
Hmm. So speak to those who might lead this in a group setting, because this book is 300 pages of 10 weeks, and then you have this Ezekiel stuff at the end.
Right.
Is that for the leaders?
No, that's for the whole group.
Okay, so tell how it can be used in a group setting then, because this I think could be very, very beneficial for a group in a church or a special ladies group somewhere.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. What you would do is you would kind of create your time. I have in the back of the book a leader's guide. So it pretty much walks you through and takes all the guesswork out of it. I try to make it as easy as possible for the believers so that it just becomes, it's very straightforward. But basically, however the Holy Spirit leads you to do it would be fine, but you might want to come together with a time of fellowship, maybe some food or coffee or, you know, little finger foods, and have your time of fellowship, and then maybe come together and you can watch the video together. The video teachings on average are about 20 minutes in length. I did this intentionally. I think there's a couple of them that are closer to 15, and then there's a couple of them that are closer to 25, but on average they're 20 minutes long. And I did this so that even if a group comes together on their lunch break, they would be able to get all the aspects
of the
time together, and where you're not focusing the whole time on the video. And so you would watch the teaching together, and then there are bullet point questions that I give the leader that they can ask the group, and there's always at least one question in each of the weeks that's directed directly to the video. The rest of them all pretty much come out of the workbook. But the two of them, like I said, kind of weave together the teachings from the video and from the book, weave together, and they really complement each other. But I try to take all the guesswork out of it for leaders and make it as easy as possible. And like I said, it's you'll find all of that in the back of the book.
Where can we order your video and your book?
Well, it is available on Amazon, but you can also ask for it wherever books are sold. And, but the best place to get it is off my website. And I say that because I offer discounts and package prices that you're not going to be able to get anywhere else. If you go out there on my website, which is www.libertyinchristministries.com, again, that's libertyinchristministries.com, and you go out to the Bible study page, I have one page that's dedicated to all of the Bible studies, and it has all the packages on there where if you have maybe a small group or there's just maybe four or five of you, it's a real small little group that you're doing in your home, you know, there's a package for that. And then there's a package, maybe there's a little bit more, maybe there's a small group at church or whatever, or in your, again, in your home, and there's six in that one, which includes all the six workbooks, the DVD, and of course the Leader's Guide is there. And then, of course, there's the big package, which is geared for churches, and that one has a, you can get 20 of the workbooks in that one. And the beautiful thing is two things on there. You can customize your package simply by emailing me. If you've got a really, really large group, like I had a church that contacted me and they needed a lot more books than what I had put on the website. And so they're like, well, what do we do? And so I can customize a package for you. And the neat thing is that the more books you order, the better the discount off each of the individual workbooks. And so the neat thing is like if a church purchases a package, then they can offer the books to the ladies at, you know, the price that they purchased them for, or if they would like to raise a little money for their women's ministry or for something, they could maybe say they can offer them for retail price, which is $14.95, and then they can take that for women's ministry to do a women's event or, you know, something that the church would need. It's just, you know, I'm just throwing it out there for possibilities. We're always looking for other ways that we can bless people. So that just might be one way they can do that. But like I said, the books are can be obtained anywhere where books are sold, but the best place for discounts and packages and things like that is on my website.
Wow. There's just a lot of information from you, Patty. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love the passion in your voice about it, too. It's so exciting that you really, really know that you've got something wonderful to give to others. I like that about you.
I do, too.
God is wonderful. God is wonderful. It's like I just want everybody to know. You know, I want women to know. I want men to know. This book is not just for women. It's for men, too. I want people to know how wonderful and how awesome he is and the joy that we can have in a lifelong pursuit of knowing Jesus.
So if people decided this was too much in one setting, can they divide the chapters up and take 2 weeks to do one, maybe?
Oh, sure. I mean, I certainly lay it out as a 10-week study, but you can certainly divide it up, especially if there's maybe a couple of them that you want to focus on and dig even more into. Like, for example, the name. I encourage them to do more research and to do more digging. There's so much to the name of God that I couldn't cover it in a week. There's so much to all these different aspects of relationship with God that they cannot be covered really fully in a week. And so I would hope that, take more time, dig more in there, write to me and say, oh, you know, I found this out too, you know. And so share with me. I take the journey with everybody who contacts me. And I just pray for you as you and your group go through. And I'm right there with you, right there with you.
You were sharing with Maxine and I before this show started about the depth of information that's in your book and about someone suggesting that you make it into 10 Bible studies instead of one. Mm-hmm. You want to tell us about that and how you came to the decision not to do that?
Yeah, sure. Yes, I had written it, the original manuscript, and I turned it over to a pastor. I always like to turn my Bible studies over to someone who has even greater knowledge than I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, Jesus is the ultimate knowledge, right? And I truly believe with all my heart that he's the one who wrote this Bible study. There are times I read it back and I go, oh my gosh, I did not write this book, because he wrote it, and it's about him and for him. But yes,
yeah,
you're right. A pastor had suggested to me that, he said to me, Patty, this is too much information for the average believer. And maybe he's right. Maybe for the, you know, for someone, it may be too much information. But I began to pray about it, and I began to ask the Lord, you know, is he right? Should I break this Bible study down and make it a Know That I Am God series, and take, you know, the different aspects of relationship and make them into maybe like a four-week Bible study on each relationship or something like this? And so I decided to go ahead, and I joined another Bible study group, a group of ladies who I did not know. And the very first day, we're all sitting there, and the facilitator of the group says, very first thing out of her mouth, I want you ladies all to know that I hate women's Bible studies. Now, at first, this kind of shocked me, because here is the facilitator telling us that she hates women's Bible studies, but yet she's leading a Bible study. And so, but she continued on, and she said, well, now let me tell you why I hate women's Bible studies. She said, they're too fluffy. She said, I want to know, where are the Bible studies with the meat and potatoes? And then that's when God spoke to me and said, see, they're out there. And so those are the ones I'm writing for. There's the ones who are truly in hot pursuit of God, who truly want to know God on a more intimate level, who truly want to understand the emotional makeup of God in a way that they haven't before. Someone who truly desires to have a more vivid awareness of God in their everyday lives, who really want to pursue him. As Jesus said in Matthew, he says, you know, ask, seek, knock. For those who ask, you know, they will receive. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, the door will be opened. Those are the ones I wrote this Bible study for. Maybe I didn't write this Bible study for the masses. Maybe that's what, you know, God, that was God's intention, that he was truly seeking and pursuing the people who truly desired to know him. And, you know, as it says in Deuteronomy, you know, and even in, I went blank, Jeremiah, you know, where it says in Jeremiah 29, you know, if you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. And I think God wants that. He wants us to seek him with everything that we have, with all that we are, to truly come to a place where we know him, believe him, and understand him.
Well, I won't ask you what you're hoping people will get out of this after you said that, Patty, because I think that was really, really revealing of what you were hoping people will do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to ask you one more question, because we're kind of really starting to run short on time. Why should people read their Bible, and why should they pray? What's the benefit?
Knowing God. I mean, truly, I mean, if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not praying and connecting with him through the Holy Spirit, you're not going to know him. I mean, you can go to church, but your relationship's going to be very limited. You need to be in the Word of God for yourself. You need to be connected to the Holy Spirit and to be crying out to God in prayer. Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you truly want to know God, you need to be in the Word and you need to be in prayer.
Hmm.
For sure. Jeannie, do you have one more question you'd like to ask of Patty?
Oh, just one. You know, you were talking about Jeremiah that says, you know, if you seek me, you'll find me. Do you think God hides from us, Patty?
I think he can, absolutely. I do believe that he can. But I don't believe he hides himself from those who truly pursue him and really want to cry out with an earnest cry that says, I want to know you, Lord. He does not hide himself for those who seek him with all of their heart.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, Patty, thank you so much for being our guest today. And listeners,
thank you.
We are talking with Patty Mason of Liberty in Christ Ministries, and she has got this phenomenal new Bible study for your group, for your personal life, even if you don't want to be a part of a group, called Know That I Am God. I'm going to ask Patty for just one more time to give her address where her website can be found.
Yeah, that's at libertyinchristministries.com.
Okay. And is there a blog on there too, Patty?
No.
Okay. So is your
newsletter,
they
can sign up for the newsletter.
Okay, you do have a newsletter. You really
there
do.
There you go.
It has great stuff in it. Patty, thank you so much for being our
thank
guest
you.
Today. You have been amazing. We have enjoyed talking with you and feel like you have given our listeners some meat and potatoes today. So
oh, great. Well,
thank you,
Patty. Thank you very much for having
me.
I loved it. Thank you.
This is Tom Fuller saying thank you for joining us on The River today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and Raising Children in Blended Families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of a Thousand Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at The River. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.